Ladies and gentlemen, esteemed governors, coaches, and passionate enthusiasts of our illustrious FAIL Dynasty League, I stand before you today as your current reigning champion to deliver a State of FAIL address. As we gather here, filled with anticipation and fervor, let us reflect upon the journey we've embarked upon and celebrate the greatness that has defined our league. In this realm of strategists, where gridiron gladiators clash, our league stands as a testament to the true essence of competition. Each year, we witness the rise and fall of teams, the joy of victory and the agony of defeat, as our cherished players fight for supremacy on the digital battlefield. We embrace the spirit of camaraderie, forging friendships and rivalries that withstand the test of time. Today, as I address you, I am humbled by the remarkable growth and evolution of our league. It is a testament to your unyielding passion and unwavering dedication that we stand united, stronger than ever. The bonds we've built, the trades we've negotiated, the waivers we've won. It is through these actions that we have elevated our league to unprecedented heights. In the world of dynasty football, we recognize that success is not merely measured in victories alone. It is the pursuit of excellence, the relentless pursuit of knowledge, and the ability to adapt and overcome adversity that truly define champions. The unwavering spirit of our league members, who meticulously craft their rosters, scout for hidden gems, and maneuver through the complexities of a dynamic fantasy landscape. It is a testament to the heart and soul of our league. As we gaze into the future, let us embrace the challenges that lie ahead. We shall embark upon yet another season where legends will be born and dynasties will rise. Together, we shall navigate the tumultuous waves of injuries, surprise breakouts, and unforeseen twists with the unwavering conviction that the spirit of competition shall prevail. I call upon each of you, each and every one of you, to continue pushing the boundaries, to strive for greatness, and to honor the very essence of our beloved FAIL League. Let us treasure the friendships that we've forged, the memories that we've created, and the joy we find in this shared pursuit of glory. In closing, I extend my deepest gratitude to all the governors and the players who breathe life into our league. Without your dedication, passion, and commitment, this dynasty could not exist. As we embark upon this new season, let us embrace the journey ahead, for it is together that we shall redefine what it means to be champions. May the fantasy gods smile upon us all, and may this season be one for the ages. Well, boys, this is your State of FAIL. Wanting to start a new tradition in the league, thought it would be fun to give my view on where we're at as a league and where we all fall in the pecking order. The agenda for today is I'm going to go through a 1 through 14 ranking of where I perceive every roster to be. I'm going to present these in reverse order from 14th up to first, build a little bit of climax, and hopefully give you my point of view on where we all are right now. Basically, you can think of this as which rosters would I be willing to swap mine for? The final answer or answers will be at the end. But for now, we will start off with number 14 overall, which is Mark Fierst. I don't think this is any surprise. I think Mark by far has the worst roster. We're going to do this in kind of an organized fashion. We're going to go through my perceived starting roster with bench players and then draft picks. So overall view of where we're at. Mark, QB1, Hendon Hooker. Need I say more? Superflex, Malik Willis, or insert other mostly irrelevant player here. He's got valuable assets at running back in Breece Hall. And Tony Pollard in the flex spot. Dalton Kincaid is really the only other player worth mentioning here. So we got Breece Hall, Tony Pollard, Dalton Kincaid. Three quality pieces, arguably top 10, all three of them at their positions in terms of dynasty value. But after that, there's really not much. Quarterbacks already covered, they're trash. Quentin Johnson could be fun, but rookie, who knows? Achane could also be fun, also rookie, who knows? Notably, Mark does not own his own draft pick in 2024. For the draft picks, we're just going to cover first through thirds. Everything after that is mostly crapshoot and irrelevant for what we're talking about here. So Mark does have two firsts this upcoming year, Josh, which could be valuable, and Eli, which won't be nearly as valuable. 2025, he doesn't have any picks in the first three rounds. And 2026, he owns all of his own picks. So I think pretty clear, Mark 14th. After that, also easy slot in here, Josh. Josh has quality at quarterback and super flex with Deshaun Watson and Kyler Murray. He also has quality, but aging at tight end, Darren Waller, probably on the fringe of top 10 tight ends dynasty value. After that, he does have Geno Smith, so he does have a little bit of quarterback depth, but the rest of the roster is pretty thin. We got A.J. Dillon in the running back and Hollywood Brown at wide receiver. Flex spots are going to have to be Brandon Cooks, Chase Claypool, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and I don't know who the last flex player will be. I think that's why Josh is down here at 13th. Will be difficult for him to fill in a full starting roster. You can't start all three quarterbacks, so he's going to have to trot out someone like Logan Thomas or Chuba Hubbard in his last spot. Not a ton else to cover there. After that, things get a little bit tricky. I view three governors as being essentially tied in this spot for 10th, 11th, and 12th. So I suppose in no particular order, we've got Canute, quarterback one, rookie C.J. Stroud, super flex unknown. But he has a plethora of middling talent in wide receivers and running backs specifically that could slot in there. That's probably why, if I had to separate them out, Canute would be number 12. He does have some quality young wide receiver talent with Chris Olave, Drake London, Zay Flowers, and an aging Keenan Allen, who also will still put up points. Running back, a little bit thin. He does have Madison, who now will be the RB1 for the Vikings. To be seen if he will be heavily utilized. I know that as a Vikings fan, we've seen him be efficient in touches, but has always had Dalvin ahead of him. So it'll be interesting to see that he could be a breakout if they give him the ball a significant amount. After that, he has Rashad Penny, who, still could do a little bit, but probably not much more than a year or two out from being irrelevant. He has a bunch of other running backs who are lower in value, in my opinion. Spears, Chase Brown, Zach Evans, all taken in the second round this year. We'll see what they turn out to be. He does have Devin Singletary and Leonard Fournette. They could prove to score some points, but I'm not sure that by the time Canute is looking to be competing for a playoff spot that they will be on the field anymore, but we'll see. Other wide receivers on his bench will be Jacoby Myers, Darnell Mooney, DJ Chark, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Gallup, Curtis Samuel, Daubs, Pierce, a bunch of names who could be something, but also, hard to say, right? Not tons of confidence in the back half of the roster, but has enough quality to fill out most of a starting roster. Questionable on super flex spot. Probably gonna have to plug in one of those wide receivers for now. Tight end's got Tyler Higbee, who's solid, nothing super special. And Sam Laporta, rookie, could be something too. Too early to be seen. Canute does have a bunch of draft picks, though. He's got three firsts this year, his own, Jonathan and Jeremy. Two of them most likely be later. But he has 5 seconds, as always, 3/3 this year. Bunch of draft capital. See what he can do with that. Next season, he has his own first, second, and third. Mark Fierst's first, second, and third. And Sam's second. So most likely good draft capital there with multiple firsts, multiple seconds. And 2026, he has all of his own. So Canute has what I see as, you know, some cornerstone pieces in Olave, Drake London. Hopefully CJ Stroud can be the guy, and he'll be able to build around that. Next up at the other next tied for 10th spot, we got number 11 would be Peter. Peter, really solid QB1, Trevor Lawrence, super flex, unproven, but high expectations, Bryce Young. And on the bench, he's got Kenny Pickett. So first team on the board here with some quarterback depth, which is huge in our league. We've seen that play out. Running back is thin for Peter. Really, the only notable running back is Charbonnet, drafted this year. To be seen what he will look like, but I think Peter's eyeing up the long game with the running back position, because he follows that up with his wide receiver room, which includes Deebo Samuel, JSN, Treylon Burks. Three guys. Maybe Treylon Burks isn't in the same category, but Deebo and JSN. Deebo looking to continue to be the number one guy, and JSN looking to break into a quarterback room that's a little bit full, but clearly has the talent to make something of it. Kyle Pitts, still, I believe, dynasty overall number one tight end. He's the guy you want. Had a fantastic rookie season and injured last year, but I think he's a guy to build around. Also has Evan Ingram in the tight end room, so that adds some depth and helps fill out that starting roster. The last spot for Peter on the roster, on the starting roster at least, a little bit questionable. Guys like Gabe Davis, Sky Moore, maybe the rookie Schoonmaker can hop in there. John Mechie, Zay Jones, hard to say. But I think Peter's got some pieces at positions, specifically quarterback depth is all important. He's got a tight end to build around. He's got some depth at wide receiver. Needs to figure out if Charbonnet can be the running back starting guy, but he also has draft capital to build with as well. This upcoming year, he has Mark's first, which looks to be an early first, his own first, and Sam's first. He has 4 seconds and a third this year. After that, he has his own picks plus a Dan Krause third in the 2025 draft. So to me, I think Peter and Canute, as shown, clearly head and shoulders above the guys below them, but still have a little bit of holes and some questionable depth at certain spots. So that's how they fall in there. After that, the third out of the three, where I view them all very similar, is Matt. Again, strong at QB1. Justin Fields proved he can put up points on the board this last year. I don't think that goes away. He also has Superflex filled in. Jordan Love, now QB1 on the Packers. Matt's been waiting for that for years. So have some of the salty Green Bay fans. So we'll see how that works out for them. After that, though, quarterback is slim pickings for Matt. Not nearly the depth that Peter's got, but I believe the rest of the roster for Matt puts his a slight step above Peter for where I would slate him in at number 10 overall. Running back, round one rookie, Jahmyr Gibbs. Matt loves his Lions. We all know that. I think Gibbs is set to be a points monster in Detroit. After that, he's got Rashad White as well. So not a one-trick pony in the running back room for Matt. He's also got Tank Bigsby. Cool name. Matt loves those. We'll see how that plays out. Wide receiver, he's got Amon-Ra St. Brown, obviously. Loves the Lions. That's Matt's go-to. But does have some depth. He's got Christian Watson, Jameson Williams, and then some other flyers and young guys, Rashi Rice, Cedric Tillman, Hunter Renfrow. Tight end for Matt. Not brilliant after trading away Kelsey, but part of the rebuild. He's got Chig Okonkwo. I apologize to you, Chig, personally. Honestly, that was brutal. He's also got Luke Musgrave and Daniel Bellinger, who could slot in if need be. A little bit iffy for Matt on who the last bench spot, kind of the same as for Peter and Canute. But I think there's quite a bit of talent here to build around for Matt. Plus, he's got all of his own draft picks, plus a couple extra seconds and an extra third this upcoming year. He's got mine and Dan Krause's first in 2025. So he's got room, I shouldn't say room. He's got assets to make moves with if he so chooses, or he can wait it out and do the slow build. I think either way, he's in a decent spot to continue improving into the future. After that, I think this team is in a tier of their own between the rest. We got Texas Dan. His quarterback room is abysmal. He does have Mac Jones, who's holding on to a starting spot, it looks like, in New England. But after that, he's got nothing. No quarterbacks to be spoken of. I guess you can say Zach Wilson's name, but that's really it. He does have quality in the running back room with Kem Walker, Damian Pierce, then some other young guys and flyers, Kendra Miller, Jamal Williams, Elijah Mitchell, Raheem Mostert, maybe. They still playing football? I guess we'll see. For wide receivers, I think he's even set up better with Rashad Bateman, Jordan Addison, new rookie for the Vikings. Let's go. George Pickens, Mike Williams. He will need to slot in someone like Elijah Moore, Alan Lazard, OBJ, if he can play anymore. Into that super flex spot, but I believe Texas Dan's roster value across the starting roster specifically is just that much more proven and consistent, especially with TJ Hockenson at tight end. He doesn't really have that many gaping holes in the starting roster other than quarterback. So, you know, if Mac Jones doesn't hold on to his job, it's going to be a rough one for Texas Dan. But I think if he can and just be serviceable, that Texas Dan will show that he is our ninth best team as it stands right now as a league. For draft picks, Dan doesn't trade, so he's got all of his own picks, but he does have an additional 2025 second. So good for him keeping up with the Joneses in terms of consistently drafting his guys. Kem Walker was a hit. We'll see if he can continue to improve that way. And this is where I believe there is a league-wide break of who has a realistic shot at making the playoffs and who doesn't. Top eight. I believe we have eight teams fighting for six playoff spots. The two guys on the outside right now are Sam and Eli. I think it is possible to go one way or the other. They've got a significantly different team makeup. And I think my preference would be that I would prefer having Eli's roster over Sam's. So that means that Sam is our number eight team here in our rankings. Haven't done the numbers, but he's got to be the oldest team in the league in terms of starting roster. We got Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr at quarterback and Superflex. Both solid, hopefully. Don't know how many more years for Rodgers. Carr in a new situation, we'll see how he does. But he at least has two guys that should be startable, no problem. Plus, he has Matt Stafford as that depth that we need. Running back, Christian McCaffrey. He's still a monster. Doesn't matter who he plays for. He also has Josh Jacobs, so some high-level running back depth for Sam. But neither of them getting younger. Did not look up ages as part of my research for this, but I don't see... I think Sam needs to make this roster championship relevant in the next 2 years for this roster to continue putting up points like he wants. And McCaffrey and Jacobs are part of that. Wide receiver looks really good in the now for two guys that Sam has, and that is Cooper Kupp and Davante Adams, two guys who have been the wide receiver one in recent history. How will Davante Adams be for that much longer? I think he's probably the most valuable asset on this team, in my opinion. Maybe I'm crazy. But him and Cooper Kupp are a killer 1-2 punch at wide receiver. He also has Kadarius Toney and Tyler Boyd, who can put up numbers. Tight end room has a little bit of depth with Michael Meyer. He's expected to be a stud, but rookie tight ends, how quickly can you expect them to put numbers up? Hard to say. Wide receiver depth, a little bit struggling after we go through Toney and Boyd. So Sam has a really solid score points this week roster, but I don't believe that the firepower is quite there to be a top championship contender immediately, and he doesn't have the depth or the youth or the draft picks to grow. So I think Sam might be in a tough spot in a year or two. Draft picks, he does not have any other than Chris's third this upcoming year. He has his own third in 2025, and he has his own second and third in 2026. So no first-round picks for the next 3 years for Sam, and I guess we'll see what happens. So that means number seven, Eli. In terms of my rankings, on the outside looking in yet again for a playoff spot. This isn't necessarily a this-year ranking, but just kind of worked out that way. Tough break for Eli last year. I'm glad it worked out the way it did. Quarterback, Russell Wilson, Superflex, Jared Goff, and after trading away Carr, now Eli will not have the conundrum of choosing two out of three similar quarterbacks, but he will now potentially struggle with the depth like a lot of us do. But Russell Wilson and Jared Goff should be able to put up startable numbers. We'll see if Russell can figure things out and get back to his form. If he can, Eli could be a scary team. If he can't, It might be another outside looking in on the playoffs for Eli. We will see. For running back, he's got Travis Etienne, really solid young running back, high expectations for him. He also has Cam Akers, lots of steam on him taking over. I know it was a little bit up and down this last year, but looks like he has solidified himself yet again as a workhorse in that offense. Wide receiver, he's got some fantastic young wide receivers, does Eli, and that is why I have him ranked in this spot ahead of Sam. More depth, in my opinion. T. Higgins, Devonta Smith, Chris Godwin, Calvin Ridley, let's go. I would take those four guys, absolutely. Love that for Eli, filling out his flex spots with wide receivers, and love it. Tight end, David Njoku, Noah Fant, Mike Gesicki, Isaiah Likely. Njoku should be solid number one, you know, tight end one, top 14, so to speak. But after that, it's a bit of a question mark. So hopefully for Eli, Njoku can solidify himself and he doesn't have to play around with Noah Fant, Mike Gesicki. Pretty touchdown dependent. In terms of depth at other positions, after those top four wide receivers, things drop off for Eli. Rondale Moore could be a possibility. For running backs, he's got McKinnon, Roshan Johnson, rookie. We'll see how those guys play out. But I think Eli's got, really solid roster and some fun young youth, specifically at wide receiver and running back, which is fun for him. Hopefully the quarterbacks can pan out. After that, we get into the top six, and we'll kick it off with Wisconsin, Dan. Quarterback one, Jalen Hurts. Monster. Breakout. He's the real deal. Putting up points, running the ball, scoring all the goal line touchdowns. Get after it. After that, super flex, Brock Purdy. Quarterback one in San Francisco, much to my chagrin. Brock Purdy seems to be the delight of the leadership over there at the Niners. And Dan's a beneficiary of that. Not a lot of quarterback depth, though. He's got Desmond Ridder, Blake Zappe, Davis Mills. Don't know if any of those guys will be anything. We'll see. But for Dan, looking fine with two starting quarterbacks, as long as Purdy comes back healthy. For running back, he's got Saquon Barkley. What else you got to say? He's proven that he's still the real deal, putting the team on his back. Let's go. He also has Derrick Henry and Joe Mixon. Do we need to talk about those guys? Definitely not young, but definitely still putting up numbers. That's why Dan is here at number six. Got Zamir White further down on the depth chart for running backs. That makes it tough. But for wide receiver, he's got Stephon Diggs. Does Diggs even want to be in Buffalo anymore? It's hard to say. But if he's out on the field, he's a force to be reckoned with. He's also got Tyler Lockett in a flex spot. With Christian Kirk, Wandale Robinson, Devontae Parker, Corey Davis filling out some wide receiver depth. None of them studs, but could absolutely be serviceable and plug them right in. Dan also has the number one tight end right now, Travis Kelce, with Dallas Goedert also in the wings in a flex spot. So Dan's got a scary-looking starting roster. QB... super flex, a little bit questionable with Purdy, but running back, wide receiver, tight end, and all four flex spots filled with studs. But the depth at quarterback and really all the rest of the positions other than tight end is a little bit concerning for Dan going forward, especially with no draft picks in the first three rounds for the next 2 years. He does have his own in 2026, but Dan really needs to get these guys to put up a championship as soon as possible. And hopefully Purdy can be the guy. After that, we've got Brent, number five overall. He's got two quarterback ones, Joe Burrow and Dak Prescott. After that, he has Sam Howell, Jimmy Garoppolo, Stetson Bennett. We'll see with those guys. But for sure with Burrow and Prescott, Brent has two quarterbacks that almost anyone would prefer to have over their own. Probably only a couple teams really that have two better. So that's a pillar for Brent to build on, to win with. He showed it last year, putting up crazy points. He will continue doing that, I'm sure. Running back, he's got Ramondre Stevenson, with Kamara and James Conner, behind him. And he's also got Kenneth Gainwell. If Kamara is out for an extended period of time, running back could be a bit of a question mark if Stevenson isn't the stud that he's supposed to be. But for Brent, it probably should play out just fine, where Stevenson's the running back one, and you can plug in the rest of your roster with your tight ends and wide receivers that he's got. And those guys would be wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, absolute stud. Tyreek Hill, absolute stud. DeAndre Hopkins used to be a stud, might still be, who knows. He's got Pat Freiermuth. Wow. Pat Freiermuth at tight end, with Juwan Johnson behind him. So Brent, really scary top roster. A few question marks with Hopkins, Kamara, and the rest of his depth. But at the top, consistency with his quarterbacks will and wide receivers and tight ends will keep him in the game, and I would not be angry about having Brent's roster by any means. Number four, Jonathan, with his newly minted top two picks, Bijan Robinson, Anthony Richardson, he's built himself a solid looking roster for years to come. And that's with Daniel Jones at quarterback, Anthony Richardson at super flex, and he's got Will Levis on the bench. So assuming that those two rookies can pan out and be what they expect, Jonathan's got the quarterback depth and the legs at quarterback to score a bunch of points. So that is what anybody would want. Running back, Bijan Robinson, don't need to say more. He's also on team running back, got Najee Harris, J.K. Dobbins, Javonte Williams. He's also got Brian Robinson and Jaylen Warren. Lots of running back depth for Jonathan, no doubt about it. That is a strong point for him, plus a bunch of youth, although some injury history with Javonte and J.K. Dobbins. We'll see how those guys come back and if they can lead Jonathan's team to a much anticipated playoff run after doing his best tanking impression last year. For wide receiver, he's got DJ Moore, the one and only Mr. Future Value, DJ Moore. He's always got a better year ahead. He's also got Terry McLaurin with Michael Pittman and Jahan Dotson and Jonathan Mingo. Jonathan's got quite a bit of wide receiver depth. Hopefully for him, a couple of those guys can turn into wide receiver ones. Otherwise, he's got four or five wide receiver twos to help fill out that depth. So that's good for him. At tight end is Jonathan's weakest spot. That's with Dawson Knox, with Zach Ertz and Tucker Kraft. A little bit of a question mark for Jonathan, but I think the depth at running back and wide receiver and quarterback helps make up for it. Assuming the rookies can pan out, Jonathan will be scary in the next year or two. So that's everyone up through number four. So we've got our top three overall, and maybe a bit of a surprise for all of you, but this is where I would slate myself. Not going to go into depth, but I think my team has some elite talent, but I also, like others, have depth problems, especially at quarterback. Can Tua even stay healthy? Can Cousins continue to produce in the twilight of his career? Is Trey Lance ever going to even be a starting quarterback? Doesn't look like it at this point. So quarterback's a big question mark, and that's a huge part of our league. And that's why I put myself here at number three. I do think that my running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, and the depth that I have, put me in this category, and that's what helped me win a championship last year. Although I would not trade my roster for either of the two teams that will be following. I'm excited to see what my trio of CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown, Jaylen Waddle can do this year. See if they can keep putting numbers up for me, and we'll see. I forgot to cover draft picks for Jonathan. He has two firsts this upcoming year, Dan Krause and Brents. He also has three firsts in 2025. So that gives Jonathan kind of a leg up on Brent and Wisconsin Dan and the rest of the field, in my opinion. Lots of draft capital. Super young, unproven, but lots of draft capital. For myself, I don't have very many picks. Only Peter's third next year, my own second in 2025, and my picks in 2026. I don't have any stud tight ends, but I've got a lot of depth there. I got four guys who could be on the fringe of being a tight end one, so that helps ease my concerns about that position. It really comes down to, can Tua stay healthy? And we will just have to see. I don't think there'll be any question about this after I put myself at three, but Chris, number two overall team, I would trade my roster for his. He has Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson at his quarterback and super flex. Two absolute studs. Might be the best quarterback duo in the league right now. He also has Jonathan Taylor at his running back, Garrett Wilson, wide receiver, Mark Andrews, tight end. And his flex spots are DK Metcalf, DeAndre Swift, Aaron Jones, Amari Cooper. Chris does not have fantastic quarterback depth. Nobody does. Chris does not. He does have Ryan Tannehill, but I don't think that's worth anything at this point. For running back behind Jonathan Taylor, he's got DeAndre Swift, Aaron Jones, both going to be starters for him most likely. He's got Tyler Algier also as a little bit of depth, although not sure how valuable he will be. For wide receiver, he's got Wilson at the top, but he's also got DK Metcalf, Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, Cortland Sutton. Two absolute studs for Chris at wide receiver with Wilson and Metcalf. And then hopefully for him, Cooper, Evans, and Sutton can be the best versions of themselves. And he will continue to pester this league with wins and all sorts of points. For tight end, he's got Mark Andrews, absolute stud, with Gerald Everett and Conklin as some depth. Fill in the back end of his flex spots, depending on bye weeks, injuries, that sort of thing. But Chris has a scary roster. He doesn't have any picks until 2026 where he has his own. But Chris, forced to be reckoned with. And then we have the almighty overall best team since inception, essentially, Jeremy. The only other arguable best quarterback room in the league, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, need I say more? Just like everybody else, he's got quarterback depth issues with Mike White as his third quarterback, but if his guys stay healthy, he will have no problem easing into the playoffs and most likely another championship game. We will see. He's got running backs Austin Eckler and Nick Chubb, getting a little bit long in the tooth, but still beasts. David Montgomery, James Cook, Khalil Herbert, and some other guys whose names I can't even pronounce. Is Zeke still playing football? I'm not sure. Wide receiver, number one guy, Justin Jefferson. No argument here. We love that man. He's also got Jerry Jeudy, Deontay Johnson. And further down the roster, he's got Jalen Hyatt. Tight end, George Kittle, monster, although also getting long in the tooth, and they don't pass the ball that much anymore. But he's got Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill is a backup. But here's where Jeremy sets himself apart. He has arguably the best starting roster in the league. Minimal depth, but the best starting roster. And he still owns first-round draft picks. He has my first-round draft pick next year and his own third. He has Chris's and his own first in 2025, plus Eli's second and his own second in 2025, plus all of his picks in 2026. And that is why Jeremy is the number one team. I would absolutely trade my roster for his. He is a force to be reckoned with. We got off lucky last year in the championship game because of a fluke crazy scenario. But Jeremy is here to stay. He has a scary roster, and we will all be fearful of him repeating in 2023 and 2024. I almost guarantee it. Folks, that is your state of fail monologue, essentially, about where I think the league's at. I love this place. I love all you guys. Really, really fun to hear the podcast. I wanted to create one of my own. Hopefully it's not too bad just having me ramble on, but I enjoyed it. Talk to you guys later.